Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, May 6th, 2014. Once again, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Happy Tuesday.
Is this a happy Tuesday?
It's always a... I woke up, it's a happy Tuesday. It's a blessed Tuesday.
Okay. I won't argue with you about that.
Nope.
I won't even make any smart remarks.
All right. Well, that's unusual. Are you feeling all right?
I'm going to probably have to see a doctor as soon as the program is done.
Uh-oh. Hey, well, gold should see a doctor today. It's interesting. Yet the USDX today was trading almost broken to 78. Could have during a... early morning trading. Of course, it didn't stay there. 79.11 right now. 79.11 down 0.39. That was not the lowest of the day that I saw. And so it's interesting to see gold with that type of a number being down a buck 80 at the moment at 13.08.90. Along with silver at $19.65, down 0.04. Although palladium did manage to be to the positive, up $3 at $1,458, and palladium $820 on the day. So I would expect to see gold higher as long as you don't have some sort of a major reversal in that dollar. So I would think today would be the day to be taking advantage of the $1,808 price for gold and silver.
1808.
1308.
Hmm.
And 1965 for silver. Thank you. Crude oil today was up just a few cents today at 99.64. And the paper markets today, woohoo, it was the only third Tuesday this year that the S&P actually ended lower. The S&P was down 16 points at 1867. The NASDAQ was down 57 points, 1.3%, a little over 1.3%, 4,080. Excuse me. You have the Dow 129 points to the downside at 16,401. Twitter. If anybody owned Twitter or owns Twitter, I'd be getting rid of it pretty quick. That tanked today, 18%. 18% as the executives.
What do they think it is, a Bitcoin?
As the executives were allowed to sell. So if the executives aren't hanging on to their Twitter shares, I can't imagine anyone wanting to hold on to any paper. And that's a big mistake people make, Al. They make a profit and they stay there. They don't sell. And the next thing you know, it drops. And we are creatures of habit. We become a little greedy. We want a dollar more, or a few cents more. And we wait. It falls down a little bit, and we expect it to come back, and it never does. And then it falls even further. And next thing you know, you're in negative territory. And then you don't want to sell it because you're losing money. And so, folks, if you're making profit on something, sell it. Sell some.
It's always a judgment call and the rest of that sort of thing. But you look at the fundamentals. Where is it going to go?
When you're in.
Right? If you can hang on to something long enough and the fundamentals are good for that period of time, then fine, hang on. If you're convinced those fundamentals are valued, if you're short term, another story.
We're not talking about gold. Gold is a different scenario altogether, but when we're talking about paper investments, it's no different than being in Las Vegas. If you're sitting at the blackjack table and you're making a few bucks, you're going to be pulling out your principal first and riding on the gains.
Oh, if you do that, Melody, you can't get fabulously wealthy. Don't you understand these things? You're sitting there at the blackjack table and you've already made four or five big scores, and you only need three more, and you're going to be able to buy a new Ferrari. Just three more.
Well, anyway, today I read about how Dubai, they're looking to build one of the world's biggest gold refineries that's currently under construction, and it's supposed to be completed next year. And what's interesting about this, it will help alter the balance of power in the gold industry. So I'd also think that it would put a little bit of a dapper on their ability to manipulate the prices out of London. You have the growth in demand for the precious metals that is shifting east to Asia's fastest growing economies.
Well, where do they expect to get the ore that they're going to refine?
60 million refinery. They're one of the top global centers for gold trading. Tariq El
Dubai is?
Dubai is already a top global center for gold trading.
I get that, but where do they get the ore that they're going to refine? If I understood correctly, you're telling us that they're going to set up a refinery.
Gold imports and exports handled by Dubai got up to $75 billion in 2014 and $6
billion
in
2000. Yeah, but I'm talking about ore. I mean, if you got a refinery, I'm going to assume that they are going to refine ore that's coming out of the ground. They're not just going to melt existing gold bars or something like that. I don't doubt they can, but you see my point?
Well,
where is it coming from? I mean, well, usually you're going to see a refinery close by, you know, close to any major mine. They're going to refine it there because it costs money to haul tons and tons of ore. It's, you know, you beat the transportation costs by building the refinery close to a major source of ore.
You have about
so I'm just curious, where is Dubai expecting to find the ore for this? I don't know. Maybe they pull gold out of the ground in Dubai. Maybe there's a significant find there, but not something I've heard about. That doesn't, you know.
The gold imports and exports that handled by Dubai shot up by $75 billion in 2014. And their new refinery will have an annual capacity of 1,400 tons of gold and 600 tons of silver, making it three times the size of any of the UAE's current refineries. So this, you know, they have other refineries. So they're betting on that the gold demand in Asia is going to continue to grow strongly. And even though you had the global gold demand, that shrank last year by 15%.
Global demand did?
Global demand, and that's according to the World Gold Council.
That's hard to believe.
World Gold Council, I don't give them 100% in, you know, gold stars, but they're usually pretty good at producing. And even if they're off by 5%, it's still...
Yeah, but I mean, with the extraordinary increase in demand by China, It's hard to imagine that the rest of the world fell off enough to reduce total demand by, did you say 15%?
By 15%, which World Gold Council is the one that, I mean, basically they report the numbers as far as the purchases and the acquisitions from countries. So. But
that's interesting, but it's still suspicious in part because China is notoriously secretive about how much gold it's really purchasing. We hear reports about how much they are bringing in, but a lot of people believe that the true amount of gold that's being imported by China is much more than what they're reporting. In fact, we saw an article back last week where someone claims that China is on the verge sometime in the next 12 months. According to this report, they plan to announce how much gold they've actually acquired and how much they actually hold right now. And the implication is that it's far more than what people are led to believe. I think right now people are led to believe that China has about 3,000 tons of gold. I think that's the official report. But if they're going to report how much they've really got, it almost sounds, you know, they might report they've got 4,000. They might report they've got 5,000. They might report they have more than anyone else.
Well, that's fine, and that would change this number. But currently, they haven't released that number, so it wouldn't have any impact. And if we really look at the price of gold, yes, we know it's manipulated, but it obviously shows there's no demand for it, too. We've seen the gold eagles, for even from our U.S. Mint, decline over previous years of recent. So, no, there has been a lack of demand when they hit gold. Yeah, we did see the purchasing of gold drop. So I'm not quite sure, you know, the impact of what the U.S. has on the world gold demand. I can't imagine that it would be a lot. I mean, we also know that London and the European countries, they're scooping up British sovereigns. It's almost impossible to get British sovereigns in here in any large quantities because most of the people in Europe, they buy British sovereigns, Swiss francs. So, I mean, we do see a... You know, and that's the difficult part, Al, because so many reports that come out, a lot of them do conflict one another.
Yeah, I know.
And so...
Which tells you what? When you see the conflicting reports, and they're all over, I saw something from, I think is Adelson. Yeah. I think his first name is Larry.
Yeah,
he published an article recently. And
he's been
point,
wrong on a thousand times.
At one point in the article, he explains that he's sure that gold will either go up dramatically in the future or it may go down. And I just thought, that's why we read these articles, to learn that it might go up and it might go down. Well, he had some other qualifications in there, but it would just struck me
as silly.
What do you look at? You look at the fundamentals. When there is confusion and no one really knows, is it going up or is it going down? Is it going up or is it going down this month? I don't think anyone really knows. Is it going up or is it going down in over the course of the next 2 years? I don't think many people have any doubt it's going up. I know there's some mixed opinion on that. But Harry Dent, for example, yeah, he thinks gold is going to...
Go to Wikipedia and read his history. And Larry Adelson, too. I mean, they do come out with good commentaries as far as some of the fundamentals and so forth. But Larry Adelson, I think this goes back 6 months. He was predicting gold to be, I think, below 1,000 by a certain date. That never happened. And so nobody remembers that. So they reverse their positions and, you know, take it a different direction. But when they happen to get it right after being wrong 100 times, everybody remembers that one time that they're right.
See, that's why you should make at least one prediction a day. Okay? I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to do my prediction du jour, Melody. One a day from now on, I'm going to predict that gold will go to 3,000 and 4,000 and 1,000. I'm going to just keep on adding predictions, and I'm bound to be right on one of them. Do you understand? And then I can sell a book. I can make a fortune. Shom, I was the first one to predict that gold was going to pick a particular number.
What's also interesting about Dubai getting involved in the gold business is they're looking to introduce, I believe it's supposed to begin this June, a spot gold contract. They're in the final stages of finalizing the specifications of the contract, and they're trying to have it a little bit smaller for consumers and smaller investors, a 32 troy ounce of gold. And so they're becoming top center for exchange-based spot trading of gold, and they're looking to expand its infrastructure, and they might even, it opens up, it might need to host substantial operations of bullion banks. And, of course, so, again, it's interesting, you know, they're coming in, they're going to be competing with London. And
Well, let me make sure I understand. Did you say that they were thinking about in Dubai? They're thinking about generating these 32-ounce bars?
The Dubai Gold and Commodities Exchange, yes.
Okay, so then I can understand maybe what they're talking about with the refineries. Maybe they're talking about taking bars that had been previously minted, for lack of a better term, or cast by London or the United States or wherever, and melting them down into a new size and shape that people might actually trust. And what I mean by that, you know, we've all heard the stories about the bars that were allegedly, the source of them were here in the United States, that had a tungsten core. Well, what if Dubai started taking all the gold it could find and melting it down and separating the tungsten, if any, from those bars, and people began to realize if you got a 32-ounce bar coming from Dubai, that was, you could rely on it. Do you think that's possible, or do you think that's just foolish?
No, I don't think it's. No, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think that the thing is, the trend for gold is here. They understand, and they're going into something to where they're going to make money. And I think that they're looking to possibly compete with London. You have London's over-the-counter market. Involving counterparty risk and trading, and you know there are a lot larger bars, and they're more for central banks and institutional investors, but really are not for the smaller buyers. And plus Dubai says their goal is to have delivery of physical gold like within 2 days after the trade, so the delivery will be specifically significantly faster than what we see in New York. So, no, I think they're competing for gold, and I think the price is, again, at a level that makes it very profitable to come in at this juncture of the game because everybody knows where everything is headed. I mean, except
well,
here in
the
U.S.
Other
implications.
Except
it's the
not
people
just a question
here.
Of,
oh, I want to buy NASDAQ, and I want to buy this. I want to be in paper. Go ahead, Al.
Well, one of the points is that it's not just that gold is going up in price. It's Dubai is apparently going to deal exclusively or primarily in physical gold, and they're walking away from paper gold. It may be they know London is about out of gold. It may be they know that the New York markets are about out of gold, and they're physical gold. And maybe they're just saying, well, we're not going to sell any paper gold over here. We'll just sell physical gold, and they're preparing for that possibility. We'll talk more in a moment. Melody and I are going to take a break. We'll be back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. easy to use, and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thethepowerherbs.com.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adusk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Yeah, we do have a little special for $550. It includes, we have Swiss francs that are available. We were talking about the smaller fractional piece of the European coin. It's 0.1867, almost a fifth of an ounce of gold. And we're going to include the 2014 Baseball Hall of Fame silver dollars, their PCGS, Mint State 70s. They're really cool coins. Designed by a California person. She was the winning designer in this contest, and it's the first concave coin produced by the U.S. Mint, and they're really, really neat. So they're really neat coins. They make great gifts, but this is a great little package. The 550 also includes shipping. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And if you go to the website, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter, and, of course, our archives of the radio program are there also, 1-800-375-4188. And Alfred, Office Depot, they're planning to close 400 U.S. stores. They merged with Office Max, and now they have an overlap of retail locations that they're looking to consolidate. And it's quite
what's
a few.
That tell you?
It's 400 stores.
I mean,
I don't know how many employees. About 19. Pardon?
Well, I'm just speculating that if they're going to close that many stores, it's in good indication that people aren't buying as much office supplies as they have in the past. even though they're consolidating with Office Max. Still a pretty good indication that their business is not good.
Well, it's online. I mean, people buy their office supplies online. They have them shipped to the door. You don't have to be running around, you know, trying to find which store has what. Here in State College, we have Staples and we have Office Depot. Office Depot is way at the other side of town from the offices, most of the majority of the business section of State College where we're located. And it's just a lot easier to go online, and it arrives at your door the next day.
Yeah, it's true, and I think that's probably what's getting them. Maybe you're right about that. It's not less. There's not a smaller demand for office supply products necessarily, but it may be that they're just being run out of business by the internet.
Mm-hmm. And they certainly don't try to compete either.
What do you mean they don't try to compete?
Well, I think if you're doing online selling like a lot of these stores, I mean, you have to have a gimmick. You have to get people to come to your... why would you want to buy from Staples other than Office Depot or Office Max?
You mean why would you want to go to a brick-and-mortar store rather than just
or
buy...
Or even online. What makes a person choose, if you're going to be purchasing online, what makes you want to choose from Staples versus Office Max versus Office Depot?
I think the answer to that question is usually you've done business with them before. You just have a level of, you have a comfort level with any, you're always a little distrusting if you're going to put any money and send it off on the internet. And once you establish a relationship with any firm, including Amazon, for example, you just feel comfortable that it works, and therefore you just go ahead with it. You continue to do what's been comfortable in the past, unless someone can show you really solid reason why you might go with somebody else. They're going to have better service, lower prices. Something is going to have to be there once that comfort factor is built in. It's part of the reason why people will pay. My understanding that they value your contact information is something like $25 for your contact information. Because if they can get you to do business one time, then they have a huge advantage over their competitors, assuming they treat you fairly that first time.
You know what I found, though, too, is we buy from Staples online, and I find when I go into the store and actually see the product, I end up purchasing higher quality than when I order it online because you just can't see it. There's a visual you're impaired visually as far as actually seeing the quality, and sometimes you think you're buying the same thing, but then when you receive it, it really isn't. And you end up keeping it and using it because it is a hassle to take it back and to ship it and so forth.
But you're maybe not even quite sure. Did I get a second rate product here or not? I can't tell for sure.
Because you really don't know. And I mean, I see that in even things from like pens and things so very simple. I'll end up buying a better quality when I'm actually in the store than when I do online. And it's not like that I'm looking for a lesser quality online.
You're looking for a lower price.
No, it's just you're not even really looking for price. It's just the picture doesn't give you the detail, and you don't see it, and you can't compare it to something else as far as the quality. So I see things online as lesser quality that I receive. So I enjoy going to the brick-and-mortar stores because you can actually see the product.
Well, all that is you must be over 30 then.
30.
That's what it tells me. You must be over 30 because all the young people understand you can just do business on the internet. You can look at the pictures and count the pixels and whatever else, and you know.
You can't see it, and you accept the product that you receive, and so how do you even know if you're actually saving money? You don't.
Well, you don't know. It's like you don't really know what the unemployment rate or the inflation rate is. But as long as it makes you feel good, this is part of that new math thing that they had a few years ago. The important thing is that you feel good about the purchase that you've made, or you feel good about the answer you've provided to the question, what is 15 times 186? Doesn't matter if you get it right, but do you feel good? What else, Melody?
That's pretty much all I have. You have a U.S. I just find this interesting. A U.S. oil company, Chevron, they're looking to drill for shale gas at its exploration well site in northeastern Romania. And you have a lot of protests from local residents because we all know what happens when they go in there and, you know, they try pumping water and chemicals at high pressure into these deep rock formations. It usually contaminates the groundwater supplies. And so they're going everywhere to do that. This is a U.S. company in Romania. And of course, Chevron comes out and says, oh, it's going to drill in an environmentally responsible manner.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Environmentally responsible manner means that we're going to make every nickel we can make off this stuff and try not to kill more birds than is absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
And if it all blows up, it's not our fault. It'll be, you know, circumstances beyond our control.
And General Motors, they're looking to recall another 60,000 Saturn.
They must really like them, huh?
They're looking to fix cable problems, and that they are also linked to 28 injuries. So these are the mid-sized cars, and they're having automatic transmission shift levers are having problems. They can actually show the wrong gear. So GM is certainly having their problems.
Does anybody have a recall mechanism like that for congressmen, senators, and presidents? I mean, if they start showing the wrong gear or giving us the wrong information, in truth, we can recall them, but it doesn't seem to be a very effective process. All we have to do is not vote for them. But we tend to like our incumbents.
Yes.
And they manage to survive in spite of reality. They continue to be reelected and reelected, and we keep hoping that they're going to do it right this time.
And actually, early 401k withdrawals are replacing homes as piggy banks.
Yeah, the premature withdrawals, this is from Bloomberg, premature withdrawals from retirement accounts have become America's new piggy bank. in other words, it used to be that people would, when we needed more money, our homes values were rising, we'd take out a second mortgage on the house, we'd refinance at lower rates, we'd wind up receiving a financial benefit, and we could go out and spend that to, who knows, put a down payment down, a significant down payment on a new car, maybe buy a new car, I don't know. But we had that opportunity, and we could take our money out of our homes, and now people are increasingly, they're not taking it out of the homes, that's no longer easily done. But what they're doing is going after the retirement accounts. And again, this article is from Bloomberg. And it says, in part, the Internal Revenue Service collected a $5.7 billion in 2011 from penalties, meaning that Americans took out almost $57 billion from retirement funds before they were supposed to. The penalties, 10%. So the IRS imposed $5.7 billion in 2011. That's 3 years ago. Well, 2 years ago, by this, you wouldn't get the penalty probably till 2012. So you could say 2 years ago. It's evidence that people are diving into their 401ks and their other pension funds in order to get them through difficult times. Median size of a 401k is $24,000. People older than 55 having $65,300 in their 401ks. That's the median. The funds can disappear quickly in retirement, and early withdrawals indicate that the coming retirement crisis could be even more acute than expected. What they're saying is, look, people are already in such a financial crisis that they have to start going into their savings that were intended to get them through retirement. And those savings, at least for a lot of people, are being consumed, at least in part, now in order to get through this difficult period. And the implication is we're going to have a lot of people who reach retirement with a lot less money than they might have otherwise hoped or expected. And that means when they do get to retirement, there's going to be a problem. Where are they going to get the money to pay the rent or buy the groceries or whatever, if they've already, you know, the house may be paid for, but the taxes and whatever. And it's simply, It's an indication of how the economy is functioning. It tells us that people are essentially eating their seed corn. Right? You had to store, you know, on the farm back in the day, you had to harvest your corn and you had to save enough corn to plant next spring. You had so much corn to get you through the winter, and but you had to save seed corn to plant for the next crop. But now we're in a situation where people are eating their seed corn. And it necessarily means, where are we going to find the capital to invest at some point in the future? It will be more difficult to find people who have real wealth that they're able to lend and they're able to invest. Younger workers ages 20 to 39 have the highest cash out rates, with about 40% taking money when they switch jobs. And Congress, here's the last paragraph on this. Congress, retirement experts, and administrative officials who are concerned about early withdrawal have two suggestions, totally at odds with each other. One, lower the penalties, or two, raise them. You know, this is reminiscent. We talked about one of the gurus speaking. Price of gold is either going to go upward or it's going to go downward. This is the same thing. We have people in Congress. Some of them say we need a higher penalty so people don't break into their retirement accounts. Others are saying, no, we need a lower penalty because these people are already hurting. And there's no point in imposing a 10% penalty on these people when they withdraw the little whatever they need just to get by today. So what do you think, Melody? Should we have higher penalties for people who break into their 401ks before they retire? Or should we have lower penalties, recognizing that people are having difficult times right now?
I think they already did raise them several years ago to a small degree on the 401ks, I believe. So, you know, but what no one is saying is people used to put their money in the banks and get interest that they could live on.
Uh-huh.
And now, where's the interest? Where's the beef? Where's the interest? Banks don't pay anything. Saw a statement, $250,000, $20 interest payment. You got to be kidding me. So the banks get this money for nothing. No, I mean, that's the problem. It isn't whether you raise the penalties or lower the penalties. It's how about giving something back if they're going to be using it, you know, for the banks. Start paying a little bit of interest.
Yeah, but regardless of how much interest they're paying, how much do they have to pay in order to offset inflation? The truth of the matter is, I mean, inflation, it may be running 8%, 9%. Government says it's down less than 2%. They're shooting for 2%. The truth may be 8% or 9%.
Well, stock market.
Where are you going to put your money in a bank right now? And I don't care what. When was the last time you saw banks pay enough interest to compensate for an 8% or 9% inflation rate?
And when was the last time?
To compensate for that, we'd have to have something like 10, 12%. Interest being paid by the banks to compensate for the inflation rate that we may be facing right now.
When was the last time you saw that in stocks, in paper investments?
No, I understand.
Oh, well, yeah, maybe if you take out food and energy, the only thing that's really kept up with that inflation rate.
And we should remove oxygen also and water, where we don't have to concern ourselves with oxygen, water, food, or energy. Other than that, we don't have much we have to worry about.
The only thing that's kept up with it is gold.
Yeah, and we've had the last 2 years is we've had a downstroke, but.
Well, I'm talking about a period of time.
No, I get that. I get that. I just saw something. The price of gold in terms of how much a barrel of crude oil.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same now as it was back in 1950. It's the same now as it was back around 1990. You're getting the same amount of crude oil for the same amount of gold. I saw it just in the last couple of days. So it's been preserving its wealth. And if you look at things and you think to yourself, well, that's not much of an incentive to invest in gold. It only preserves the wealth. Look what's happened to people who had dollars. They've lost 70, 80, 90% of the wealth they had squirreled away in dollars. Get gold and it can keep you level. Just hang on to what you've earned. I guarantee that is a powerful incentive to purchase gold. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, as you know. Got an article here that from freebeacon.com. Saudi Arabia shows off Chinese missiles. That's the headline. Saudis send message to United States, Iran in military parade. That's the subheadline. Saudi Arabia's military for the first time displayed Chinese-made intermediate-range missiles during a recent military parade in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. The unveiling of the two Chinese DF-3 missiles is the latest sign that the oil-rich kingdom is distancing itself from the United States. And that's where this gets significant. The fact that they've bought some missiles from China in and of itself, you know, it's like buying a Ford or buying a Chevrolet, you know. All right, you got a car, all right? Regardless, you got a Ford, you got a Chevrolet, you got a car. All right, they've got some missiles. By itself, the missiles, but purchasing from China. This indicates that Saudi Arabia is, just as they say, distancing itself from the United States. And the reason is that Saudi Arabia and the United States entered into a treaty back about 1971 where the United States agreed to guarantee the military defense of Saudi Arabia in return for Saudi Arabia agreeing to sell all of its crude oil for U.S. dollars. This was the foundation for the petrodollar, which became the world reserve currency. OPEC, after Saudi Arabia cut this deal with the United States, OPEC, for reasons I do not understand, but they duplicated the deal and they guaranteed the OPEC nations they would only sell their crude oil for U.S. dollars. This was after the dollar had gone completely off the gold standard, and it could no longer be redeemed with gold by foreign countries. The dollar was a pure fiat currency, but after, and it had intrinsically worthless. It would have taken a nosedive, and we could have seen big trouble back in the 70s. Because the currency was intrinsically worthless, but they cut this deal with Saudi Arabia, number one, and OPEC, number two, where if you wanted to purchase crude oil on the international market, you had to have dollars. And that created a demand for dollars, and it created an implied value for dollars. And the dollar became implicitly backed by crude oil rather than gold. This was a brilliant scheme, and it worked for 30 years. But come around 2000, Saddam Hussein began to sell Iraqi crude oil for the euro and currency other than the dollar. And we invaded in 2003 and ultimately hanged Saddam Hussein for having the audacity to threaten the dollar's hegemony, its monopoly on as world reserve currency and petrol currency. It was the only currency you could use to get oil, and that's what gave the dollar value. Saddam Hussein threatened all that. And we invaded under the pretext of finding weapons of mass destruction, one thing another like that. It was a small bunch of nonsense. We invaded because he was selling crude oil for something other than dollars, and if we let him get away with it, everybody'd want to do it. Next thing you know, the dollar wouldn't be worth anything. That was the explanation for what really happened to motivate this government to invade Iraq. Now, the fact that we invaded Iraq in order to preserve the petrodollar is evidence of how important it is that the dollar remain at least the primary currency, which it still is, primary currency for purchasing crude oil on the international market. It's not the only currency. My guess is, I don't know the numbers, 80-90% of the transactions are still done in fiat dollars for crude oil. But the number of transactions that are being completed in currencies other than crude oil are growing, 10-20%, maybe more. The reason it's significant, from my perspective, that Saudi Arabia is holding a parade that includes a couple of missiles from China. It indicates, first, that Saudi Arabia no longer believes it can trust the United States to defend it in the event of a serious conflict in the Middle East. They have undoubtedly looked, we have treaties with Ukraine to defend Ukraine, right, against Russia. We guaranteed, you can count on us. You're in good hands with the United States. We haven't done anything to defend Ukraine, and we're not likely to. And the lesson there can't be, it's not being overlooked by Saudi Arabia. They don't think they can count on us anymore. That has to be part of their thinking. And they are looking for new protectors. Right? They got a lot of wealth, not that many people. They don't like to fight. They need somebody else to protect them. There is an opportunity for China to move into Saudi Arabia. Insofar as the Saudis are beginning to distance themselves from the United States, we can infer that the Saudis are becoming more comfortable with the idea. It doesn't mean they're going to do it in the next couple of weeks, months, or whenever. But they are becoming more comfortable with the idea that they could start to sell Saudi crude oil for something other than dollars. Doesn't mean they'd stop taking dollars. Just means that they could start taking euros or yuan or whatever else. Right? And Saudi Arabia was the first country to reach agreement with the United States to create the petrodollar, to back the dollar by crude oil. The implication is that if Saudis bailed out and they said, we're not going to back the dollar anymore, all right, by selling our crude oil only for dollars, It's hard to know how much psychological impact that sort of change would have. It's hard to know what sort of technical, objective impact that change would have. But however much change there would be as a result, the dollar's purchasing power would not be enhanced. It would be further diminished. So we're just looking at a situation here, another one of these leaves in the breeze. We see it here in Saudi Arabia, and they are saying, hey, we've got Chinese missiles. And that's it's got to be disturbing for people in our government, because it's just telling us that the dollar is getting a little closer to a moment of correction, a moment when it will no longer be backed. It's not backed by gold, not backed by silver, and it won't really even be backed by crude oil. And when we get to that moment, you know, purchasing power of the dollar is going to fall significantly, and prices will rise. Those of us who are depending on fixed incomes, we're going to, you know, you've got Social Security coming in the door. Well, that's nice. It's good to have. But what happens if the value of the dollar falls by 30%? Not impossible. And the price of groceries goes up proportionately. Price of energy goes up proportionately. What happens to the standard of living for people that are depending on that Social Security check every month to take care of them? They're just going to have a problem, and it's going to affect everyone. That's just one illustration, but we will all be affected. And the significance of the article for Bond concerning Saudi Arabia is that the Saudis are at least more comfortable with the idea of taking currencies other than the U.S. dollar for Saudi crude oil. And if they make that shift, it won't necessarily be the death knell for the petrodollar, but it might be. So there's the significance of that article, Melody. What do you think?
Well, we're certainly seeing, you know, there certainly is a currency war going on out there, and we certainly have seen the euro is certainly stronger than what most economists imagined. I mean, you know, 2 years ago, everyone was predicting that the euro would pretty much be eliminated, and here it is at 140. So certainly strength, and again, it's just another sign that the dollar's weakness, because the fact of the matter is everybody knows the condition, the true condition of the U.S., and there's no leadership.
I don't know if everybody does, but we're beginning to suspect.
They certainly understand that the debt that this country has.
Unpayable.
Unpayable, and the lack of leadership, and certainly where we're headed. So no, everybody but the people here in the U.S., I mean, they're the ones that that do not understand what's going on. But I mean, I truly believe countries and they're positioning themselves. They're getting ready. They're positioning themselves. They're taking advantage. And it's just not gold and silver and currencies and so forth, but they're taking advantage. I mean, we see the article was the Saudis are taking advantage of, you know, beginning to protect themselves. And that's what people here in this country should do, protect themselves.
Yeah, I understand.
Because there's no one there that will do it for you. All
which
the promises.
Which means you have to begin to cultivate a more independent psychology. You've got to begin to look out for yourself, and you can't simply trust in others to take care of you. You're going to have to make some steps. I mean, that's the way I read the future. That's the way I read our probable circumstances in the future. If you're going to be okay, you got to start taking steps now to make sure. It looks to me like we're headed for difficult times, but we might not get there for several years. I don't know when we're going to get there. But just about everybody who looks at this understands that we aren't likely to skate out of the problem we're seeing right now, the difficulty we're seeing right now. Not necessarily a crisis, but a difficulty. Are we going to skate away? Are we going to work our way out of it? Are we going to triumph after it? I don't think so. I think we're going to have a difficult period. I think we're going to have a painful period. Is it start this year, next year, the year after that? Don't know, can't say. But it does appear that it's coming, and it appears that it's inevitable, and that sense of inevitability that colors all the every statement I make on this program. I think we're headed for difficult times. So some people, other people might say, no, we're going to be okay. We're going to skate on through. I don't see how that can be maintained. I don't see how that idea can be maintained. But if you agree that we're headed for difficult times, the big implication is that if the problems reach a crisis point, they reach the level of crisis, odds are we're going to see something like a systemic failure. We're going to see the dollar's value drop significantly. We're going to see the economy significantly impaired. We're going to have a difficult time for a few years. And the point behind all of that is if you subscribe to that notion of what's coming, if you agree that we're going to see difficult times, you got to prepare because it won't be there. There will at least be a period of 60, 90 days, 6 months. There might not be, it might not be easy to find food on the grocery shelves. You know, you're going to have to be stocked up. You're going to think independently and have to say, okay, what do I have to do to take care of me and my family under these circumstances? So, part of mentality, if you're going to depend on the government, if you're going to depend on your congressman and your president and your senators and all the rest of these people, oh, yeah, they'll take care of us. I can count on Social Security, right? Not necessarily. You know, you may get Social Security. I won't say that the checks will stop coming, but I'll bet you that they don't get adjusted for cost of living increases. Yeah, you'll still get $1,200 a month, but the price of steak might be $20 a pound. What good is your $1,200? It'll be perhaps, it'll be good to have, no doubt. But it won't buy as much as you can today. So, you know, point behind all of it, got to get that independent mentality. Realize you're going to have to shift for yourself and prepare accordingly. We're going to prepare for tomorrow's program because we're about out of time. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. I want to thank all of you for listening, and we will be back tomorrow. And in the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.